Ah, the old film strip projector. At one point in time, this was cutting edge technology. And like any good Christian, Christians in that day and age wanted to use this technology as an evangelistic tool. So in the year 1958, a man by the name Jule Miller developed a series of film strips, the Jule Miller film strips. And you could put those film strips into a projector like this, and you could take it over to your neighbor's house, and you could sit on the couch with your neighbor, and you could project visual images, illustrations of the gospel in action on your neighbor's wall. Using these film strips, thousands of people were converted to the Lord. Thousands of souls were saved as a great use of this technological advancement. The Jule Miller film strips became all the rage in the church. Congregations all over the United States were ordering themselves copies of the Jule Miller film strips. And people were becoming evangelistic. People were taking those film strip projectors and those film strips over to their neighbors' homes. And they were sharing the gospel. It was a great evangelistic tool. The only problem was that many people became dependent upon the Jule Miller film strip in order for them to be evangelistic. It was a tool. It was a method that helped people be evangelistic. But for some people, they didn't know how to be evangelistic without the film strip projector. And unfortunately, there came a point in time where the technology and the film strip itself became outdated. Oh no! What are we going to do? How is the church going to be evangelistic with this outdated technology and with these outdated film strips? Luckily, there was someone who was able to convert the film strips to a VHS cassette. So you could still go over to your neighbor's house and sit down on your neighbor's couch and pop that cassette into his VCR player, and you could see those images on your neighbor's television screen. Evangelism could still go on. The point is that Christians have always wanted to be evangelistic. Christians have always been searching for ways to share the gospel with people who do not know Christ. But a lot of people don't know how to be evangelistic. A lot of people need a tool. A lot of people need a method that allows them to be evangelistic. And so throughout history, we have developed a lot of great methods. We have developed a lot of great tools. We developed the flip chart. The flip chart was the exact same thing as the film strip projector. The only difference was, instead of projecting images up onto your neighbor's wall, now you would sit down at the dining room table and you would see those same images, those same illustrations on the flip chart. And when it came time, you would just turn the page and show the next image. It was a great evangelistic tool. Many souls were saved as a result of those flip charts. We developed some great programs, programs like the Fishers of Men program. The Fishers of Men program is a training course that trains you how to be evangelistic. It teaches you how to study the Bible with people. In fact, even locally here, the Carter family has produced a Bible study called the Eternal Purpose Bible Study. And it's a great program. If you go through the Eternal Purpose Bible Study program, it will teach you how to be evangelistic. It will teach you how to share the gospel with someone who does not know Christ. And in fact, the Eternal Purpose Bible Study will actually give you the study to follow with someone. If you want to study with your neighbor or a family member or a friend, you could take the Eternal Purpose Bible Study and it gives you the passages to turn to. It gives you some illustrations to use. It's a great tool to have. It's a great method to understand. There was a time when churches would have citywide campaigns. Churches would have gospel meetings, and they would bring in the big name preacher. And the idea was that if anybody can convert this community, it's got to be the big name preacher. We'll turn him loose on the community of Castle Rock and see if he can convert somebody. So we'd bring in the big name preacher to preach the gospel meeting. Churches would have workshops in their buildings, and they would invite people from the community, people who were not a part of that congregation, people who were lost. They would invite those people to come into their buildings to be a part of these workshops. The workshops would be about the topic of marriage, or about the topic of parenting, or about the topic of finances. We don't want to scare people off with the gospel of Jesus. you know, the first shot out of the box. So we'll invite them to come to our building. Now, they might not be interested in the gospel. They might not be interested in eternal salvation, but they're married. And I'm sure they would like to have a better marriage, or I'm sure they would like to get out of debt and be successful financially. And if we do a good job with the marriage seminar, if we do a good job with the financial seminar, then maybe we earn some credibility in the minds of these people. Maybe next time when we want to share the gospel with them, we have some credibility in their minds and they might be willing to hear the gospel. I'm not trying to belittle those kinds of seminars. I think any event that brings in people who are not Christian is a good thing, something that churches ought to be doing. But churches went through that phase. Then there was this idea of friendship evangelism. We want to be evangelistic, but we are going to friend people into the kingdom of God. It's a great idea. But what actually happened in practicality was that people would begin building relationships with their neighbors. You know, we would invite our neighbor over for a barbecue, and we would go out to a movie with our neighbor. We would go out to a basketball game with our neighbor, and we would get the friendship part down pat. But what about the evangelism part? It's friendship evangelism. The idea behind friendship evangelism is that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. But how long do you have to show someone how much you care before you could share with them something that you know about eternal salvation? A lot of people got caught up in the friendship part. They never got around to the evangelism part. At some point, we have to open up the book. At some point, we have to actually share the Word of God with people who are searching for salvation. The church has always wanted to be evangelistic. In fact, you can go to almost any congregation in the United States of a church that has their own building, and you walk into the foyer, and you can find on the wall the tract rack. And we have tracts covering any topic you want to find answers to. We have tracts about evangelism. You know, how to share the gospel with somebody. Is baptism really important for salvation? What about the thief on the cross? We have tracts about that, but we also have tracts just to build your faith. You know, what about the 1,000-year reign? You know, what about angels and demons or whatever? We got tracts covering every topic. Now, this congregation, Castle Rock, is one of the rare, in fact, in my experiences, the only congregation I know of that has its own building and yet does not have a tract rack up on the wall. That's very interesting about us. But generally, you will find those tracts in the foyer of any church building you walk into. We have our cassette tapes. We have our CDs. We have our DVDs. We have had radio programs. We have had television programs. And nowadays, the internet is a great evangelistic tool. People are using the internet to evangelize souls all around the world. It's amazing what technology can do for evangelism today. Today, we can have a Bible study with people in China, with people in Africa, with people in Australia, from the comforts of our own office, from the comforts of our living room. The way the internet works, it's a global evangelistic tool. And then there was a period of time where churches were hiring personal evangelists. They were actually hiring people and telling them, your job is to be evangelistic. And that's great. That's great. That's a great thing to have people who are paid to be evangelistic. However, it gives the impression to some people that evangelism is so complicated and so difficult that it's best left up to the professionals. I don't know enough to be evangelistic. Let's let the professionals worry about evangelism, and I'll worry about other things. Some people have the impression that evangelism is so complicated and that I don't know enough to be evangelistic, and so we'll just let those who are paid to do it, do it. The question is, who was being evangelistic in the first century? Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 4 says this. A great persecution arose against the church, and they were all scattered except the apostles. Those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Who was being evangelistic in the first century? It wasn't the professionals, if you want to consider the apostles to be the professionals. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. The people who were being evangelistic were the non-professionals, the everyday, average Christian. They were scattered. They lost their homes. They lost their businesses. They were being persecuted to the point of death. And yet everywhere they went, they were talking about Jesus. They were telling people about Jesus. What a great Savior we serve. What a great man Jesus was. What great things Jesus has done for us. And thousands of souls were won for Christ because Christians were talking about Jesus. You know, some people feel like they don't know enough to be evangelistic. Some people feel like I need a tool, I need a method, I need some help in order for me to be evangelistic. The problem is not the absence of technology. The problem is the absence of people who are willing to tell other people about Jesus. And in the first century, we had Christians who were willing and eager to tell other people about Jesus. What do we talk about today when we get together with our coworkers, when we get together with our friends, when we get together with our neighbors who are not Christians? We talk about a lot of things in ignorance. Maybe you've never played football before a day in your life, and yet you know exactly what the Broncos need to do to get back to the Super Bowl. And we could talk for hours about things we know nothing about. What do we know about politics? You know, what do we know about the pressure that the president has when these issues arise and he has to make a choice and the lives of thousands, literally millions of people are in his hands and he's getting advice from people leaning one direction and advice from people leaning another direction and he's trying to understand the circumstances. It's easy for us to criticize the dumb decisions that are made and how these people are ruining the country. But what have we ever done politically? What do we know about the stress and the issues and the facts and the information that the president is dealing with? We can talk about a lot of things in ignorance. We get around with people. We talk about movies. We talk about music. We talk about our families. But who is talking about Jesus? Who is talking about Jesus? Isn't Jesus newsworthy? What topic of conversation could be more needed, more impactful, more meaningful, more essential than sharing Jesus with someone who is searching for a Savior? The question is, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Can you answer that question? Who is Jesus? Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." God needs Christians who will be laborers in his harvest. The harvest is plentiful. We live in a world full of people who do not know God, full of people who are lost and separated from God because of their sins. We interact with hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people on a daily basis or on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis who are in desperate need of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. We know the Savior. But are we sharing the Savior with those who need him? You know, when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend. I started dating this girl, and my family, we went to worship every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. We went to Bible class every Wednesday night, and we went to every church activity, youth meetings on Saturday nights, you know, events, anything that was going on that involved the church, we were at it. We never missed anything. And I dated this girl for 3 months before it dawned on me, maybe I should invite her to worship. And I was really scared to do it because I didn't know, you know, how she's going to respond to this. So I went, I asked her, you know, would you like to come to worship with us on Sunday? And she's like, duh, I've been sitting here for 3 months waiting for you to invite me. It's like, why did it take you so long to invite me? Come to find out, she was actually really interested in learning about Jesus. She was really interested in wanting to be saved and studying the Bible. And I wasted 3 months not even thinking about it. And then when I did think about it, worrying how she's going to respond if I were to bring this up. And she was waiting for me to engage her in a spiritual conversation. She became a Christian. She's still a Christian to this day. She has children now who are growing up in the faith. I might have missed that. But how many other opportunities do we have that we miss? Opportunities to share the gospel with people. People who are really searching. People who are ready. People who are receptive to the gospel. And we don't say a word about it because we assume they're not interested. We assume that they're going to laugh at us. We assume we don't know enough to share the gospel with them. And we say nothing. And those opportunities don't last forever. Some people are afraid to be evangelistic because they think that the effectiveness of their evangelism is dependent upon themselves. Sometimes we think that if I'm going to be effective evangelistically, then it's all dependent upon my abilities. It's all dependent upon my skills, my ability to persuade, my ability to argue. That's what it's dependent upon. Maybe it's dependent upon my methods. What if I use the wrong method and then it doesn't work out? And we put the burden of evangelistic effectiveness on our own shoulders. It's all dependent upon me. Don't flatter yourself. It's not about you. The power to save is not in your ability to persuade. The power to save is not in your skills. The power to save is not in the method that you choose to use. The power to save is found in the Word of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." The power is not in your ability to persuade. The power is in the Word of God. Too many people make excuses and they say, "Who am I? You know, who's going to listen to me? What do I know? Do I even know enough to be evangelistic?" Some people have never done this before. "I've never studied the Bible with someone before. I don't know how to do it." And it's really an intimidating thought. I'm intimidated by that prospect. Even though deep in your heart you want to be evangelistic, it's still overwhelming. And it still can be intimidating, and it can be a very scary event for you. It is scary to approach someone with the gospel sometimes, especially if you've never done it before. But think about this. Jesus drew from the dregs of society. Jesus called people to follow him. He said, "Follow me, be a disciple, learn from me." And the people who followed Jesus had no special talents. They didn't have any special skills that set them apart as great orators. The people who followed Jesus were simple, uneducated men. Just hardworking, middle-class folks. Just trying to make a living and provide for their families. Some of them actually were hated in Jewish society. Jesus called Matthew the tax collector. He said, "Come and be my disciple." Now, Jews hated tax collectors, not just because the tax collectors were taking their money, but because the tax collectors were taking their money and giving it to the Roman government. This man was despised in Jewish culture. What are the odds that he's going to be effective evangelistically? And yet Jesus brings all these people together, these people who have no special talents or skills, and they spend 3 years with Jesus. And after those 3 years, they turn the world upside down for Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. They changed the world in a way no film strip has ever done. They changed the world in a way no cassette tape, no CD, no DVD, no radio program, no TV program, and even no internet program has ever done. Why? Because they were eager to introduce people to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Evangelism does not have to be a complicated thing. It actually can be a very simple process. People need Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? Can you answer that question? Who is Jesus? Can you find a passage in the Bible that might talk about the identity or purpose of Jesus? Who is Jesus? That's what people need to know. We go to the book of Acts and Peter is preaching a sermon to the Jews who crucified Jesus because they did not understand who Jesus was. And the point of Peter's sermon is the identity of Jesus. You need to know who Jesus is. So in verse 36, Peter tells the Jews in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Can you share that with somebody? I don't know enough to be evangelistic. I don't know enough to study the Bible with someone. If you are a Christian, can you share with somebody what you did to become a Christian? What did you do? Share that with somebody, because the process is the same. What happened in Acts chapter 2? The people realized that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. They understood who Jesus was. And they asked, what do we need to do? The Bible says in Acts 2 verse 37 that they were cut to the heart. The fact that they were cut to the heart, the fact that they asked the question, what do we need to do, is evidence to the fact that they were believers in Jesus. They believed in Jesus. And Peter said, you need to repent and be baptized. And those who received the word, those who believed the message, were baptized and they were added. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Can you walk someone through Acts chapter 2? It doesn't have to be a complicated process. It can be a very simple thing. If you are a Christian, then you know who Jesus is, and you know what you did to become a Christian. Can't we share that with someone? Now, I know that there are people in this congregation who are being evangelistic. I know that Jessica Dodson thinks evangelistically. In fact, she had a Bible study that was a very intimidating study for her with a woman who's leading a Bible study for literally hundreds of people, hundreds of women. This woman is leading a women's Bible study. Hundreds of women come to this Bible study, and the woman actually, you know, suggested that you can be saved by praying Jesus into your heart. And Jessica Dodson had the courage to say, can we sit down and study? And the woman said, yes, of course. And Jessica said, if you want to, you know, talk about salvation to all these women, you might want to consider some of these passages that talk about the purpose of baptism. She went through this with that woman. That's evangelism. You know, I know Jennifer Hewlett is evangelistic. She is studying the Bible with one of her friends. She came to me Wednesday night and said, how do you respond to someone who brings up the thief on the cross as a reason not to get baptized? And so we spent about 30 minutes talking, not only about that, but about other questions as well. And she had probably 20 sticky notes in her Bible with little microscopic, her sticky notes actually look like my sermon note cards, little tiny microscopic handwriting everywhere, just pages full of writing and notes. And she's been studying the Bible with people. That's evangelistic. You know what? The Schumanns have a great evangelistic idea that they're getting going right now. The Schumanns have come up with this idea to create some business cards. But there's a twist to the business cards. You see, the business cards are unique. There's a unique business card for every day of the year. On one side of the business cards, you will have a verse from the Bible. It might be something like, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It might be like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But on one side of the business card, there is a different verse or a different quote for every day of the year. And on the back side of the business card, there's some kind of contact information. It might be the website for the church or something, but there's some kind of contact information. But the idea behind these business cards is that you will give one to someone every day for a year. What a brilliant idea. It's brilliant for many reasons. One reason it's brilliant is because it trains you to think evangelistically. It trains you to live and view the world from an evangelistic perspective. Now you know that you've got to find someone to give this card to today. And you pray about it. You pray that God will open the right doors for you. That God will bring a person whose heart is receptive to the word. Someone who needs this message. Someone who is searching. You're praying about this person ahead of time. And you give the business card to someone. And then afterwards, you pray about that person. You pray that God will work on their hearts and that they will come into contact with someone from the church here. They will seek it out. And it could open doors for the salvation of many souls. Another thing about these business cards is that, you know, if you have a business card, let's say you go to the coffee shop every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You go into the coffee shop, you give the lady behind the counter your business card. You're done. That's it. You're not going to give her your business card every day you come in. You've already given her one. But you come in every day and it's the same lady who works. But with this, it's not the same business card. It's a different thought. It's a different message. You can give the same person multiple cards. And who knows, they might even look forward to receiving those cards, to getting that message. What is the thought for today? What is the scripture for today? And it can help you build a relationship that could evolve into an evangelistic Bible study and the salvation of souls. I know it's scary to be evangelistic, but evangelism doesn't have to be a complicated process. Now, I am not opposed to, you know, any of these methods that I've talked about, these tools. We need methods to our evangelism. The problem is not that we don't have any methods. The problem is, are we using the methods that we have to be evangelistic? We've got the tools. We've got the methods. I don't know if you've seen this. It's called A Simple Message. This is a Bible study that Terry Rickard and Kevin Mullins put together. They're not the authors of the Bible study, but they put together the pamphlet. There's a box of these Bible studies in the storage room here in the church building. You can pick up one of these Bible studies. You can study through it yourself, and it will show you how to study through the gospel with someone who is not a Christian. It's a great tool that we have. Someone says, I can't be evangelistic because all I have is a film strip projector. And another person says, I can't be evangelistic until I get a film strip projector. The tools are available. The methods are many. The power to save souls is not in the method you choose. The power to save souls, the burden is not on your shoulders to be effective and eloquent. The power is in the Word of God. What God is looking for are people who, like the Nike slogan, are willing to just do it. Are you one of those people? Will you be one of those laborers who will go out into the field? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. If you would like to be evangelistic, but you're overwhelmed by the idea of it, the concept of it, maybe you really feel like you don't know enough, but you want to be evangelistic, we can pray for you. We can study with you. We can help you gain confidence. We can help you gain experience. And if we were like the Christians in the first century, who everywhere they went were talking to people about Jesus, we can also turn this world upside down for Christ. That's the desire in my heart. I hope that's the desire in your heart. And together we can accomplish it. But if you would like support or encouragement along those lines, you can come forward at this time and respond to the invitation while we stand and sing.